You know, we were singing a song, second song we sang, and I kind of mentioned this in the first service, but we're talking about awaken us, you know, asking the Lord to awaken us, and we use the term pour it out, and you know, there was a time in chapter 2 of Acts where we saw the Holy Spirit poured out. So I want to challenge you that in the understanding, as we're singing songs like that, and as we're saying pour it out, we're not asking God to pour out his Spirit from heaven. He already did that. What we're really asking him to do is pour forth out of us. Because the Spirit, it's already here. We're not waiting for his Spirit. He's here, and he lives in us. And the only way that he can pour out on this earth is when he pours out through us. And the Bible says that he's like a river of living water flowing through us. Amen. And so the Lord wants our life to count. One term I've used over the years is he wants our life to count for eternity. But God wants us to live, and the title of the message is A Rich and Satisfying Life. And I want you to understand that when we're talking about a rich life, we're not talking about necessarily money. There may be money involved. You look, I always say this, I want to be somebody that God can trust with money. I do believe that God's looking for people he can trust with it, who have the integrity that comes from the Holy Spirit as we yield to the Holy Spirit. And it all comes down to this, he's looking for people yielded to the Holy Spirit that he can bless with more, who are not going to take those blessings and destroy themselves with it and make false gods out of it like the Israelites did. You remember we read about how the Israelites come out of Egypt, and when they come out of Egypt, the Bible says they plundered the Egyptians. The Egyptians were just giving them gold and silver and all this stuff, giving it to them saying, please take this and go, right? They plundered the Egyptians in the sense that they left with a lot of riches. I personally believe that God was just making sure that all them years of slavery, they got compensated for, right? But then they took that the very great monetary blessings that were given to them, and they turned it into a golden calf. And I've seen that happen over and over again in life. So my prayer is that God will bless you with lots of money, but only if you have the character and you are led by the Spirit of God in your life so that he can trust you with it. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I wish that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, right? So a rich and satisfying life. So here's a question that we're really trying to get to. Are you living, or are you just existing? If you have breath in your life, you should still be living, not just existing. Now, when I say living, I'm not talking about because you're breathing and you know you're alive and the coroner hadn't written your death certificate yet. The doctor hasn't said you're dead. I'm not talking about that. That's what most people call living, but what God calls living is something more than that. Really, what people are talking about is just existing. And there's a lot of people who are just existing. And God does not want any of us at that place. So listen, there is a difference in living life as God wants for us and just existing. Webster's defines living, the word living is defined as vigorous, alive, full of life, right? That's what God really wants for us. And the only way that that's really going to be able to happen is if the Holy Spirit is ruling in our life. Now, the word existing is defined as just to have being. Just to have being. I be, but that don't mean just because I be don't mean I'm really living, right, the way God wants. So as I said, there's a difference. The vast majority of people on earth today are just existing. And this is why Jesus said in the Gospels, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And basically said, that's where most people are going to go. That's the way they're going to go. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and only few find it. Why? Because there's only very few people who are ever going to surrender their life, truly surrender their life and their will and their choices and yield to the Spirit of God. Very few people are going to do that. There are people who went to church all over the place, although there are a lot less people going to church nowadays than there used to be. There are still a whole bunch of people who go sit in churches. They do religious things, but they're only existing. They're not really living. They're not led by the Holy Spirit in any way. They're just simply living. I mean, they're trying to earn money, you know, have a job so they can earn money, so that they can, you know, maybe have a house or a car, or maybe multiple houses and multiple cars, and maybe a boat and an airplane or whatever. And people live with all these goals in life that when it's all said and done, Jesus said it's just going to rust and corrode and you can't take it with you. And it's going to make no difference in eternity. But if you take those very same things that so many people strive for, and, you know, if riches do come to them, if they take that and have an eternal perspective and say, God, how can I use this for your glory? Then I want to tell you, that person knows how to not just exist, but how to really live. And again, the vast majority of people today are just existing. They wake up in the morning, maybe go to work, go to school, I don't know, maybe keep house, whatever the case may be. They're going about their business, but they have no real sense of eternal purpose in their lives. And here's the way it usually works out. Most people live for themselves, and God calls us to live for Him, and He calls us to live for others, to love God and to love people. But most people are very, very self-focused. And so their happiness, they have no eternal purpose, so their happiness and their fulfillment in life depends mainly on their circumstance or their natural achievement. Well, if I don't have money, I'm a miserable person. If I don't have, you know, this thing that somebody else has, I'm a miserable person. When the truth of the matter is, you can lay up treasure in heaven literally till the last day on earth. Sister Dee was sharing with me this morning about Sister Belinda, and I want to encourage you all. The Lord kind of dropped this in my heart Wednesday, that as a church, we need to, as the Lord leads you, spend some time in fasting and prayer for her. You know, to take the time that you actually are going to eat that meal, and instead of eating that meal, spend some time specifically praying for her. And if you pray in the Spirit, praying the Spirit, right? But take that time praying for her, because she's battling this cancer thing. But here's the thing. I said all that to say, we love her and we want to see her come out of that. And no matter what happens, she wins. She can't lose because she's a child of God. But meanwhile, Sister Dee told me this morning that while she's in that hospital, she's witnessing to anybody who will listen to her that the presence of God was in that room. You know, just, and she's just sharing Jesus. And she's, you know, and so listen, literally, until the last day on earth, you can be fruitful for the kingdom, right? Now, her confession, and we're lining up, we're in agreement with her. She says, I'm going to stand in front of that church and testify about how God healed me. Amen. So, well, we're in agreement. Amen. But meanwhile, while she's in that situation, she's going to make every day count. Again, the happiness and fulfillment isn't based on circumstances or natural achievements for the one who's really living. If they were completely honest with themselves, people who are just existing, they would have to admit that they are empty inside. I've had an experience that happened years ago, and I shared this, I think, years ago, but when I was working construction, we just got out of Bible college, and, you know, and I've got to earn a living for my family, and so I'm working, and that's the door God opened for me, and I'm working construction. And for whatever reason, I mean, I'm a nobody as far as the company is concerned. I carried no authority, I carried no title, anything like that. I was an equipment operator, but I was new to the company. I hadn't been there very long. And for whatever reason, I remember the site manager. He's the guy that runs the whole thing for that company at that plant. And we had a lot of people out there. But I remember the site manager, for whatever reason, pulls up and gets me to get in his truck. Now, usually when the big boss pulls up and tells you to get in the truck, that ain't usually good. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Usually that means you're going to the gate, right? So I didn't know why I was getting in that truck, and I'm wondering what I did wrong. But I get in the truck, and we're riding for a little bit, just riding through the plant. He's not saying anything, but we're not heading toward the gate, which is a good thing. But we're just riding, and all of a sudden, he just starts talking to me. Now, he didn't really know me other than I was one of the employees, and I really didn't know him other than he's the big cheese, right? And whatever reason, I don't know if someone told him that, I mean, I wasn't even a pastor at that time, but I don't know if someone told him that I was just a Christian or what, but we're riding in that truck, and he just begins to talk to me, and he says, you know what? I have everything I ever wanted. He said, I have a beautiful wife. I have a very nice big house, a dream house that we always wanted. He said, we have all new vehicles. My kids all have new vehicles and everything they want. I have a hunting camp and a big lease, place where they, hunt deer and do all the stuff that people like to do around here. He said, I've got four-wheelers. I have a boat. I have all the things that I always just wanted, trying to be happy. And he said, I have everything a man could ever want, but I'm empty. And I'll never forget because I don't even know why he's talking to me at this point, other than there's something about that anointing that sometimes causes people to just open up. And I've seen that in my life a lot over the years. They don't even know. And I don't know how many times this probably happened to you too, where they'd say, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. Right? And it's the Spirit of God that's drawing them. And this man tells me all of this. And I had never had a conversation with him before. And he tells me, I'm empty. What is it? What am I missing? And I said, well, sir, if you will allow me to, I'll tell you what you're missing. And so I just began to talk to him about the Lord, about Jesus. And I said, you were created, we were all created to function in and with the presence of God. And when that's missing, you're going to be empty. And you can't fill it with anything else. I didn't get a chance to, I offered to pray with him, and he didn't want to do that. When the conversation was over, he did tell me that I'm going to start taking my family to church. It wasn't that long after that, he actually retired. And he said, he had a great job, made a lot of money. He said, I have a lot more important things in my life that I need to get right and take care of than to be out here trying to make as much money as I can. And I thought, how wonderful that God gave me that opportunity. But my point in saying all of that was this, you can have everything you think that's going to make you happy and make you feel fulfilled, but be empty inside if the Holy Spirit is not leading your life. Why? Because you're not living for anything eternal, and you were designed to live for that which is eternal. It's why we exist. So John 10:10 in the New Living Translation, this is where we get the title of the message. And again, I'm only basically giving you an introduction today, but he says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Everybody say a rich and satisfying life. The NIV translates that statement as life to the full. The King James Version says life more abundantly. The J.B. Phillips translation says far more life than before. That's what Jesus came to give us. Amen? Now, I want to say something about this word rich, because typically when we hear the word rich, we're thinking money. We're almost always thinking money. Now, again, that can be part of it, but here's the context of the word that we're really focusing on here. The word rich is defined as producing a large quantity of something, of soil or a piece of land, having the properties necessary to produce fertile growth. This is the kind of rich that he wants us to have. He wants us to be like a piece of land, soil that is fertile, that life can come forth from. More than anything else, our desire, all of us, our desire should be to try to get as many people into heaven as we possibly can. To try to win as many people to Christ as we possibly can and help others to grow in Christ. The whole reason that we're here is not because we needed something else to do on a Sunday morning. We're here because we want people to fulfill their eternal purpose on this earth. And our job is to just try to help people do that by simply telling you what God says about life. And so I want to live a life like is described there, a rich and satisfying life. I don't want to go to my grave full of regrets. I've said that many times over the years, but I can't imagine anything more horrific, more horrible than to be facing my last day on earth and have nothing but regret, realizing I haven't done anything that counts for eternity. I've spent my whole life chasing things for me. I've spent my whole life making it about my pleasures and my desires and my wants. And yet God gave me this life so that I can put treasure in heaven, and I've wasted it. How horrible a thought that is to me. And you don't have to be a pastor behind a pulpit to live a rich and satisfying life. When I think of rich, I think of that word, you know, I can see like a dark soil. I remember going through sugarcane country on the other end of the state, and I had Brother Richard Grantham with me, and he grew up there, and he was showing me as we were going through there. I think we were going to deliver some goods, some hurricane victims on the other side, and he's showing me that land. He said, look at that soil, Pastor. Look at that soil. I mean, it was just really dark, dark black soil. And he said, this right here, this part of the state is some of the best soil in the world. He said, it's rich soil. And it's true, and you can see it. I mean, you can see it. And there's fields and fields and fields and fields of sugarcane and whatever else they're growing out there. Just beautiful, green, lush, because the soil is rich. But then also think of sometimes food. How many of you like good, rich chocolate? I know the ladies do, right? Just there's something about it, and it's satisfying. I want my life, listen, when I say a rich and satisfying life, I'm not talking about a life that is rich and satisfying to me. I'm talking about a life that is rich. When God tastes in my life, he goes, that's rich and satisfying. So we must look to the Father as a source of life if we're going to live a rich and satisfying life. In John 17, Jesus is at the end of his life, and he's facing the cross. And he spoke these words that we're going to read. He spoke these words either on the way to Gethsemane or in the upper room. And this chapter is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And it's John chapter 17. And in the first verse, Jesus begins to look to God as he faces this hour of darkness. I mean, again, something that you and I really can't even imagine. Jesus knows what he's facing here. And yet the scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And the cross, listen, we've never seen anything like that. We were talking about this the other day in the men's Bible study. Someone brought up the movie, the Passion of the Christ movie, and how just so, you know, it's so graphic. And so, you know, there were people that left out of the theater just crying and crying when that movie was in the theaters because they never imagined that Jesus suffered so horribly. And it made it kind of a reality, a visual reality for a lot of people. But even that movie, as graphic as that movie was, and, you know, just the violence of it all and everything, that movie was only 3 hours long. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. So even that movie, as graphic as it is, really can't get you to the place of understanding the horrific suffering that he experienced. And that movie can't even come close to touching not only it can deal with the physical stuff, but it has no way of really letting you understand the suffering he took upon himself as he took our sins upon himself. one who had never sinned, and he takes our sin, and not just your sin and my sin, and the, you know, we got people in this room that have done bad enough stuff, right? But you imagine the worst, most horrific sin that's ever been committed. You imagine the Jeffrey Dahmers of the world who killed children and literally cannibalized them and so on and so. You imagine all the horrific things that have happened in this earth. He took those sins upon himself as well. I can't even imagine what he had to feel, the guilt, everything that came with that. And yet he willingly did it for us. And so in John 17, we see how Jesus lived. John 17:1 says, when Jesus finished saying these things, he looked up to the Father and said, Father, the time has come. The King James says, my hour has come. And he says, glorify your Son so that the Son can glorify you. The way Jesus is going to be glorified is through his obedience to the Father. Men are chasing glory all the time, but the only time you're ever going to get real glory is when God glorifies you because of your love and obedience for him. That's when glory shows up in your life. But his purpose, his motive was so that the Son can glorify you. I asked the question, and we're going to wrap up right here. I asked the question, are you living or just existing? Are we wasting our breath? I made a statement the other day, and I think it almost kind of like took the wind out of the room, the air out of the room. But I said, you know what? If you're not doing anything for eternity, if you're not making your life count for eternity, doing anything for Christ, you are a waste of breath. And I got that same thing. That is a hard, hard statement. But the truth of the matter is, God never intended for any of us to be a waste of breath. In fact, he proved his love for all of us on that cross. So why would any of us waste the breath that he put in us? We should be using it to praise the Lord, to exalt the Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus, to make our life count for eternity, to put treasure in heaven. Amen. Forget about treasure on the earth. God can put that in your hands. That ain't a problem for him. You be faithful to put treasure in heaven. He'll put all the treasure you need on this earth in your hands. So remember, he came back alive so that we could really live, not just so that we could exist. Amen. My prayer is for all of us and for this church that God has put in our hands the responsibility for. My desire is that no one would waste their life, that no one would go to their grave full of regrets, that every one of us, when we stand before God, will be able to lay down all of our jewels, the crown, all of the jewels, and we want to have something to give him. A pastor friend of mine shared a vision that he had, and I may not say it exactly right, but it touched him. In fact, every time he tells this, he starts to cry. He said that he had this dream or vision, and he's standing before the Lord, and he's got his crown, and he's going to lay his crown at the feet of the Lord. And he said, but I noticed that on the crown there were some jewels missing. It had some, but it had some missing. And he said, Lord, why are the jewels missing? And he said, those were the times when you tried to take the glory. Those were the times when you tried to live for yourself and missed the opportunities I gave you for eternity. And he said, it hit him. I don't want any of us to be that way. Amen. Look, we are all, I don't care, no matter what you do in life, we will all stand before God. We will all give an account, saved or unsaved. We will give an account for our life. Are we just existing, or are we really living? So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you would put such a desire in all of our hearts to not just exist, not just to waste breath, not just to try to earn a living and experience pleasures. And Lord, I pray, help us to see things the way you see things and to see people the way you see people. Father, forgive us for the time we have wasted. But help us, Father, from this point on, no matter what age we are, that we will lay up treasures in heaven for you. Lord, that whatever, at the very least, we can pray for people who need to be saved. At the very least, we can tell our story and how you saved us. At the very least, we can love people with your love. Help us to live outside of ourselves, not focused on the things that we think are unfair or upset us, but help us to focus on your kingdom and what really matters. Use our lives, Father God, to glorify yourself with. And we thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.